Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've chosen to join us here at First Church today. So as we begin, I think it'd probably be a really good idea for those of us that are here every week to maybe share with those that might be visiting with us for the very first time our purpose and mission. So let's loud and proud and strong, let's share with everyone here. What is our purpose here at First Church? To bring honor and enjoy Him forever. That's exactly right. And what is our mission as we fulfill that purpose? Help people fall in love with Jesus. So if you're here for the very first time today, we want to help you fall in love with Jesus. Wouldn't life be everything that God wants it to be if we all loved our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sufficiently? Well, if you are here for the first time, you're right at the end of a series we've been doing called I Have a Secret. Starting next week, we're actually going to be starting Believe. Actually, next week is the introduction. And then the following week, the 31st, next week, the 24th, is the beginning. The following week on the 31st, we'll be dealing with chapter 1 in the Believe book. So if you haven't picked up your Believe book, you can do that. We actually have these bracelets we're going to give everybody next week. I don't know if you can see that. It says, I Believe, navy blue and white. Don McLoone's going to Ireland to the Penn State game. He's going to take 500 of these, and he's going to sell them to all the Penn State people over there for 10 bucks a piece. I Believe. That's the new Penn State football logo for the fall. No, that's First Church of Christ. We're going to be looking 10 weeks at what? At the great doctrines of the church. Second 10 weeks, what? Spiritual disciplines of the believer. Third 10 weeks, the fruits of the Spirit. It's going to be a great, great study, and we're looking forward to sharing together in that. But today is the final message in I have a secret. So let me just share with you here at the beginning a question, kind of a personal question, but we'll have some audience participation. How many people here has a really, really extreme problem with pornography? No hands? You mean to tell me that we have that godly of a group here at First Church? Now see, I've scared you to death, haven't I? I've already scared you to death this morning. I'm going to talk to you about pornography. I have a secret. It's one of the biggest secrets that people have in our society today. And here's the thing. It is destroying an awful lot of people. You see, we've been looking at this passage in Proverbs 28, verse 13, where the Bible says, help me out with this, everybody that's here. He who what? He who conceals his sins does not what? Does not prosper. But whoever what? Renounces and confesses his sins finds what? Finds mercy. Whoever confesses and renounces their sins finds mercy. Now, this is what we're going to do, okay? We need to understand this idea of confession, of being open, about being transparent with God, with each other, so that we can find mercy. So let me start this morning. Let me give you some statistics that actually blew me away when it comes to pornography. Did you know that the porn revenue is larger than ABC, NBC, CBS combined? Now think about that. This coming February the 1st, I've already looked, Super Bowl Sunday is February 1st this year. This Super Bowl Sunday, when you're watching the Super Bowl and somebody says that a 30-second ad cost a bajillion dollars this year, I want you to think about this, that the revenue for pornography is larger than ABC, NBC, all of the networks combined. Now, let me give you another step. Let me ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have a child between the ages of 8 and 16? Anybody have any children between 8 and 16? Do you know what the percentage is of children between the ages of 8 and 16 that have viewed porn online? 90%. 90%. Moms and dads, if you are not working hard to protect your children from this, you need to make sure that you do that. Now, we all know that this is a problem with men, right? That men are the ones that have a problem with pornography in our culture today. Do you know what the percentage is of women that visit adult websites on the internet? 33%. 33% of the visitors to adult websites on the internet are women. Now certainly this is a bigger problem for men. It's the way we're wired. Women are wired differently, and it's not as great of a problem, but it's certainly still a huge problem. Then here's one more stat. This one actually blew me away. Anybody here like to go to McDonald's? You know, we have a McDonald's near the church office here, and I go through there, you know, at least 400 times a month. No, just kidding. I love to go into McDonald's. You know, it's quick, it's fast. Did you know that the number of adult bookstores in America outnumber the number of McDonald's in America? Matter of fact, I read a stat, it's hard to believe, 3-1. Now, there's three times more adult bookstores out there than there are McDonald's. Now think about that. Think about how many golden arches you see when you are traveling around. They are everywhere. So here's the point, folks. It's a problem. It's a problem. Now, let me tell you a story that I think will help you understand how big of an issue this is in our culture today. I've read that there is a way that Eskimos kill a wolf. Wolves that are causing problems in their life. They have a particular way that they will do away with a pesky wolf. Here's what they do. They take a two-sided knife, a two-sided sharp knife, and they dip it in the blood of a dead squirrel. And then they let it dry. And then they dip it a second time in the blood of a dead squirrel, and then they let it dry. And then they dip it a third time in the blood of a dead squirrel, and then they let it dry. And then after it's dried, it's frozen, they freeze it, they put it out in a field, they bury the handle down in the soil, and then the wolf, unsuspecting, comes along, and he smells the blood of the squirrel. And he licks it. And because the knife is frozen, it somewhat works as an antiseptic on his tongue, and he doesn't feel the prick that he's just caused on his tongue, and his tongue begins to bleed, and then he licks it a little bit more, and then all of a sudden the taste of the blood of the squirrel is overpowered by the taste of his own blood, and he doesn't know the difference, and he just goes and he just licks and licks and licks to the point that it kills him. Now, I think that that's what pornography is like in our culture today. I know some of you are here is like, oh my gosh, I should have skipped church today, right? Anybody feeling that way? You know, I just feel like that God has brought us here this morning. So let's deal with this difficult subject, but yet it's a subject that we all need to not ignore that's out there, because what's happening is that it's wounding us, it's harming us, and to some people, some families, it's absolutely killing them. Now, for those of you that are thinking I'm being way too dramatic here this morning, let me draw your attention to a passage of scripture in James chapter 1 and verse 13, and see if you don't think this scripture is saying the exactly same thing that story just taught you. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now let me highlight a couple of phrases in this passage for you here this morning. It says that when he's dragged away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then that gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. See, here's the thing, folks. When you look at this, you need to understand and realize that he's giving us the scenario here where the devil, that's what he wants to, what's the devil want to do with us? Think about it. The devil wants to entice you. The devil wants to tempt you. The devil wants you to give in to that temptation. He wants that temptation to harm you. And ultimately, he wants that temptation to take your life. That's what the devil wants to do. That's exactly what the industry of pornography wants to do as well. We are enticed. We give in to that enticement. And then all of a sudden, we are in a place that we never thought we wanted to go. Now think about it here, folks. I want to look at it this way. In the terms of being hooked and being wounded. You see, the devil uses these things as a hook. And then he wants to wound us. And then he wants that wounding to lead to our destruction. That's exactly what he wants us to experience. Now, think about this for a moment. Think about this. What is off limits sexually in our society today? Almost nothing. Right? I mean, you remember a time, those of you that are as old as I am or maybe older, you remember a time when there was such clear distinctions between right and wrong sexually. Those are all gone now. I mean, if you ask the world to define a sexual sin or sexual immorality, they would say something like, anything that's between consenting adults is okay. Is that what the Bible says? You see, we've allowed the world to shape what we think about this. So the world tells us that, oh, there's nothing wrong with pornography. You know, I mean, the Bible's going to tell you that it's a hook, it entices you, it draws you in, then it wounds you, then it harms you, then it destroys you. There's story after story of that happening. But the world would say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You see, James says here that we're enticed, that we're hooked, that we give into that, and that enticement becomes a wounding, and that wounding becomes a full-blown, something that eventually will take your life. Here's what I want to do as you think about those words, hooked and wounded. I want to take a few moments here and to give you God says in his word is this stage that we go through. Let me the first one is we're enticed, we're hooked. And I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's when you were a young child that your friend came over and your little friend decided when you all were 4 or 5 years old, hey, let's play doctor. You remember that? I mean, that was a lot of times that was the way a child was first introduced to some kind of, sexual something, and everybody freaks out. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it's when you and your friend, when you all were young teens or whatever, that you found his father's stash of pornographic magazines under the bed, or maybe you stumbled on your parents' computer and you found these images that are there. I mean, some of us here today we have horrible stories about somebody hurting us. Some kind of molestation. But however it happened, it happens to all of us at some point where we are exposed to something sexually impure. Some kind of sexual impurity. And then what happens is that it wounds us. And then for some of us, we hide that wound. And then it comes up subsequently throughout sometimes the rest of our lives. Now, you don't think that's true? Let me prove that to you. Every person in this room that's ever been wounded because of some kind of sexual impurity, you can bring that up in your mind like it was yesterday. You can see what you saw. You can feel what you felt. You can even remember the warmth or whatever was in the room. You can remember everything because it's like a wound. It's like a wound that's opened back up. And we have that mental image that's there. So think about that. You're exposed to it. You sustain a mental image, a mental injury. And then there comes some kind of sexual confusion. Either you really enjoyed it and you don't think that you should have and you feel guilty about it. Or you sustain this injury because someone has harmed you or whatever. But then you have this confusion about it. It's like what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I should do, I don't do. He said, who can save me? This wretched man that I am. And see, that's what happens because the world's telling us one thing. The devil's telling us something. God's word's telling us something totally different. And we don't know how to make sense of all this. So through the confusion, through the tension, many times we carry these things around for a long, long time. You know, I'll even share one with you from my past. I remember when I was like 13 years old, I had a teacher at school that asked me to babysit her 7-year-old son. I said, sure, I'd love to. And I went over to their house, and they lived in a part of town that, boy, I wasn't familiar with. Really nice house, big house. She was a school teacher. Her husband was some kind of county official there. And I went in, and I was going to watch their son. And all of a sudden, I noticed that in this house, there were Playboy magazines everywhere. And I'd never seen such a thing. And, you know, I'll just be open with you. I got some of them. I read every article in the Playboy magazine. Every word. No, I didn't. You know, but here I was from a Christian home. I was babysitting this kid who didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I didn't want him to see me looking at these and, you know, just all kinds of confusion. But I can go back to that very day and I can see that laying there on the coffee table, and then there was one beside the reclining chair there, and they were just everywhere. It was just open and out there in their home. And it was so weird to me. But you see, folks, whatever happened or how it happened, we come to these points, and it's like, what do we do with this? Well, we can do one of two things. We can continue to allow the world to define what's right, wrong, and struggle through. Or we can believe God and what God's word says about things like this. So let me share with you some things that I think God teaches us as believers of how we need to respond to this hook, to this enticement, and to this wounding that has come to all of us in some way. First thing is we need to learn to bounce our eyes. Now, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? We need to learn to bounce our eyes. Jesus said it this way, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We need to learn to bounce our eyes. You see, folks, this passage that Jesus shares, it's a big deal. And it's a big deal because it is so easy to allow things to come into our life through our vision that wound us and harm us. And he wants us to choose a better path than that. Matter of fact, in the verse right after this, it's where he says that if your right eye causes you to sin, that you should do what? Gouge it out, he says, and throw it away. Oh, you thought the wolf story was bad? You know, Jesus says here that this is such a big deal that we need to learn to bounce our vision from a temptation and from a sin to something else. Because if we, see, we can't help it when things come in front of our vision. We can't help from seeing things, especially in our culture today, because it's everywhere. We can't help what we see, but we can help where our eyes linger. Right? I mean, guys, I mean, we're tempted by something visually in this world. That doesn't mean that we have to go. See the difference? I mean, the word here tells us that we need to learn to bounce our eyes. Job said it this way in Job chapter 31, verse 1, speaking about a prostitute. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a woman lustfully. I'm sorry, that's the wrong reference. That's not about the prostitute, but this is so important. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. You see, folks, we need to understand that we can't stop something from coming in our vision. But he says you can learn to divert your attention. You can look away. You don't have to linger. I read about a preacher who had talked about this, and then he said that someone in his church followed him around to see if he took his own advice. I'm not suggesting that today on any level, but think about that. I mean, if somebody was watching you and what you watched, if somebody was looking at you and paying attention to where your eyes lingered, if somebody looked at you and how you would look at a young lady walking down the street and you start up high and your eyes go totally down this person. I mean, think about it, folks. If people would see us, that we would bounce our eyes, if we would look away, if we would divert our attention from something that was enticing, something that was trying to get us to sin. Oh, what a great example that would be. Now, here's the second thing. The second thing comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, and it's simply that we need to learn to capture sinful thoughts. Capture sinful thoughts. You know, at some point, we're all going to have a bad thought. Somebody's going to walk by and we're going to see something. We're going to notice something. We're going to think in our own mind, ooh la la, or whatever. You know, something's going to come in our vision. But think about this. What's next? I would just encourage you to capture that thought. What does it mean to capture a thought? What it means is it means take a thought and stop it from going in its logical path or to its logical conclusion. I mean, when he says here in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Capture that thought. Or maybe when you're alone, you got time on your hands and you start to fantasize. You know, where does that fantasy take you usually? Capture that thought and make it go somewhere else. Replace it with something else. Maybe we just start reading your Bible. Maybe it's calling a friend and saying, you know, would you pray with me? I'm being tempted by something here tonight. But I know for a fact, folks, that you and I need to really pay attention to Philippians 4:8 when it says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think. Think about such things. And the point is here, folks, is that we need to capture that thought and replace it with something that is pure and good. Then the third thing is simply sometimes you just need to run for your life. Proverbs 8, verse 7, Solomon speaking about the adulterous woman. He says, keep a path far from her. Don't even go near the door of her house. Isn't that amazing? 1 Corinthians 6:18, speaking of sexual immorality, says what? Says what? Flee from sexual immorality. The Greek word, it's translated run away, shun, to vanish, to escape. You never notice that when the Bible talks about a lot of other things, it talks about resisting, it talks about fighting, it talks about overcoming. Why is it that when he talks about sexual immorality, he says flee from it? Because it's say no. If it's strong enough, dedicated kind of thing, you've another says flee from it. Run from it that you can overcome it. You see, when it comes to sex, we're told to do what? We're told to run from it. It always reminds me of that wonderful scene, Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. How far does he run? He runs for years. And he finally is home now. Us, that's what we have to do to get away from this kind of thing. We've got to run from it. We've got this means in most people's. You know, I know a guy that he struggles with pornography. Yes. Because he knows that to get rid of it totally. I mean, for some of you, you got a suitcase somewhere that you need to get rid of. You got to get rid of the stash. You got to throw it out. I mean, for most of us, it's just practical stuff that way. You know, I had a friend also that he said he would go over to his sister's house, and his sister had a Victoria's Secret magazine, which is basically soft porn. Okay? And he said that he would tell her, don't leave those laying around, please. I have such a struggle. And he said he would find himself sometimes just absolutely just stealing one of the old Victoria's Secret's catalog and taking it with him because he just couldn't help himself. I mean, for some of us, we need to get rid of stuff like that. Ladies, maybe you need to get rid of your Cosmo magazine that says, you know, here's the 500 things that you can do to drive your man wild in bed. Get rid of it. You know, maybe some of you have some novels that you bought at Walmart or whatever, and you need to get rid of them. Because for you, that's what this is. It's an enticement. It's a hook. It's a hook that's wounded you, and you're confused about it, and you open up that wound over and over and over again because the world is telling you it's no big deal. There's nothing wrong with this. But yet in your heart, you're reading in the Bible that it is a big deal, that you need to flee immorality. You got to put things in your mind that are right and pure and lovely. And it's just who are we going to follow? I mean, maybe folks, you need to call ahead on your business trip, guys, and tell them, listen, take the adult channel off my television. Or take the television out of the room if they say that they can't do that. Or maybe you set up a webcam on your laptop where you can allow your wife to see you in your room while you're out traveling. I don't know. You know, I know Don McLoone told me he has a thing called Covenant Eyes, and he has a number of people that actually, he's emailed a report each week of people that he's helped in this area. And he gets a report of every website, every keystroke that they've made on their computer, just to help keep them accountable. I was at a conference a couple years ago, and I saw this booth, and it said xxx.church.com. Like, what is that all about? And here's these guys, and they've put together xxxchurch.com. You can go there. It's actually an internet ministry that helps men and women overcome the effects of pornography in their life and with their family. But the point is, folks, that we got to do something. We need to protect our internet usage. Families, if you're not protecting your children, that stat I gave you a few minutes ago, 6 or 8 to 16, 90% of those kids have seen pornography on the internet. And if you're not doing something to protect your children, shame on you. We have to do something. Because you know what? Just ignoring it hasn't helped at all. So learn to bounce your eyes. Learn to look at something else. Capture your thoughts and replace them with good, godly thoughts from our Heavenly Father. Run for your life if that's what you need to do. Flee from sexual immorality. But you see, folks, in order to do that, we have to allow God to tell us what's right and wrong. Because if we ask the world, if we ask culture, if we ask Hollywood, they'll tell us anything goes as long as it makes you feel good and you're not harming somebody else. But folks, the whole point is that we are harming. That hook becomes a wound. That wound becomes something that's opened time and time and time again through life. We just have to come to a point where we believe Romans 12, verse 2. And it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, folks, if that verse is not saying, don't trust the world to tell you what's right, trust God, I don't know what is. But you see, folks, he says here that it all starts by renewing your mind. It all starts by bouncing those things that you see, bouncing your eyes somewhere else. It all starts with taking everything captive, taking those thoughts captive, and redirecting that thought into something that is godly and pure. It all starts with fleeing from those things that are sexually immoral. And all of that starts with a moment in time in our heart and in our mind that I'm going to allow God to show me what he wants for me. Let's pray. Father, we ask that by your power, that God, you would set us free. And Lord, just as your people here today in this place of worship, God, we just pray for freedom. Pray, Lord, that anybody in this room today who is hooked, who is wounded, and who sees that wound open up time and time again by choices that they make, Lord, I pray that you would show them that they can have something so much better, so much different in you. And that, Lord, it all starts in a moment in time when we ask you to renew our mind. And God, that doesn't mean that we'll forget every bad decision or every bad thing that's ever happened to us. But that, Lord, that we will know that we are forgiven and that we are holy and pure in your sight. And God, I pray for anyone in this room today that's struggling with any of this, that, Lord, you would impress upon them, Lord, to reach out and get help. Maybe they feel trapped. Maybe they felt trapped for a long time. And God, may they know that First Church here, that we care about them. That, Lord, they can reach out to us and we will help them. They can reach out to Brother Don, Lord, the counselor, and that he would help, Lord, to restore them. That, God, they could come to me or some other staff person here and we would pray with them, Lord, that we would not just judge them or think of them as dirty. Because, Lord, we're all soiled by the things of this world. So, God, I pray that as this song is filling this room, Lord, and that it comes up to heaven, that, Father, we would know that we have a lot of reasons to know of your love and of your grace and of your mercy. And, Lord, I pray that all of us would reach out and claim our place, Lord, in you. And that, Lord, you would make us whole, that you would make us clean, and that you would set us, Lord, in a good place for now and for all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.